From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. In-person early voting begins today across Georgia. With just 3 weeks before a midterm election, with growing national attention, we're looking into the voting process, beginning with the state's exact match law. The Associated Press reports that nearly 53,000 voter registrations are on hold. The Secretary of State's office cites discrepancies in those forms as violations of the law, which requires voter registration information to exactly match driver's licenses, state ID cards, or Social Security records. Several civil rights organizations have filed a federal suit to overturn the exact match requirement. AJC government reporter Mark Nisi has been following the story. Hello, Mark.
Hi, good morning.
Well, thank you for being here. First, can you clarify the exact match law, which was passed in 2017? What kind of discrepancies can trigger a mismatch?
There are a number of discrepancies that can cause a mismatch, conflicting or incomplete dates of birth, misspelling in a name, a hyphenated name, a conflict between government documents on a maiden name versus a married name, or with some names, if you use a tilde over an N, for example, that could potentially trigger it. Anything that is different between a driver's license or Social Security record and what you write down on your voter registration application could potentially be interpreted as a discrepancy.
And this law was an attempt to catch voter fraud, correct?
Yes, and to make sure that Georgia's voter registration lists are accurate. You don't want people on voter registration lists who shouldn't be registered, people who might have been deceased or people who are not citizens because citizens aren't eligible to vote.
So what kind of data do we have on voter fraud in Georgia? Is it a big problem?
Based on what we know, it's a small problem. Voter fraud is rare in Georgia, and nobody wants voter fraud, but the number of cases that we see of voter fraud are small.
So we have 53,000 people now on this list. In a state with just under 7 million registered voters, which could make a great difference in a tight election, the Secretary of State and GOP gubernatorial candidate Brian Kemp's office called the AP report bogus and says people can just show their photo ID when voting to resolve the discrepancy. So, Mark, will people actually be disenfranchised by this exact match standard?
If you have photo ID, you can resolve your issues if you are eligible to vote and if your photo ID does resolve the discrepancy that resulted in you being put on a pending registration list. And you can show your voter ID either before the election or even on election day to the poll workers at your precinct, and you would immediately transform from being a pending voter to becoming an acting voter. However, on the other hand, being on a pending list can be an obstacle to voting. If you're not fully registered and active as a voter, you can't submit an absentee by mail ballot, for example, until you resolve that discrepancy. It's an extra step you have to take before you can vote. It could lead to people feeling like, well, I got this notice that says I need to verify my information. I guess that means I'm not eligible to vote. So it can present a hurdle for people to vote if they're on a pending list instead of a fully active registered voter list.
Well, how about the pending list? For those whose registration applications are on hold, how do they get off the list, especially, and can they now after the registration deadline has passed last week?
As long as they registered before the deadline, you can get off the pending list anytime if you verify your information, if you show that you are who you say you are and that your registration information matches government records.
How will people know, however, if their application is on hold in the first place?
If there is information that the county election office has to send you a mailed notice, they will do so. If the information they're missing about you is your mailing address, then of course you're not going to get that notification. So the best way to check your registration is on the internet. You can go to the state's My Voter page and just search for My Voter Page Georgia, and it'll come right up. You can enter your first initial, last name, your county and your date of birth, and it will show you whether you are registered. If you are on the pending list, it will also give you a message saying, please contact your county election office to verify your registration.
Keep going.
The other option is that you're not registered. It's possible that your information would not come up at all, and it would say your name is not found. In that case, either your name is listed differently in the registration database, which I've seen from several people who have said, wait, I don't think I'm eligible to vote. Well, sometimes it's just that it's spelled differently, or there's a space, or they use a middle name or a maiden name instead of a last name. But you can contact your county election office to find out what's going on, especially if you voted in the past or if you did submit your registration information before the registration deadline last week.
So given all of those different factors that you've just run through, is it possible that even more than 53,000 people are affected and we just don't know?
This 53,000 people is the number of people on the state's list of pending registered voters. And if anything, the number might be a little bit less because some of them are people who should not be registered to vote, like non-citizens, for example. They're not eligible to vote. So not all 53,000 of these people are eligible to vote anyway. But certainly a substantial proportion of them would be eligible to vote if they verified their information.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mark Nisi. He's AJC's government reporter. And we're talking about the 53,000 voter registrations on hold in Georgia due to the state's exact match law. This story was reported by the AP, the Associated Press, last week. Who, Mark, has been most affected by the exact match system?
So there was a lawsuit filed over this last week after this came to light. This lawsuit had been threatened over the summer, and it was actually filed on Thursday after the news broke about the extent of the list. And the lawsuit and the news reports from last week both match up, and I've looked at a version of the pending list as well that shows that about 70% of the people on the pending list are African American, and an additional 10% are either Latino or Asian. So a total of 80% of people on the pending list are minorities, which leads to allegations that this list is unfair or that it's suppressing minority voters. Now, on the other hand, state officials in elections have said, well, look, there's a reason that most of them are minorities, and that's because all these applications, nearly all of these applications, came from minorities anyway. They came on paper from registration advocacy nonprofit organizations that had the explicit purpose of signing up minorities. So it makes sense that a large proportion of them would be minorities. So that's where the legal fight is going to be, whether this unfairly targeted minorities or not.
Well, you mentioned the tilde is over an N or something that often happens with that is a particular part of the Latino population that has that. But let's look at this a little bit in context. The Voting Rights Act, storied past, of course, here in Georgia. This was a major point that Dr. Martin Luther King fought for, voter protections. The Supreme Court found some provisions unconstitutional in 2013 of the Voting Rights Act, which allowed states like Georgia to change voter laws without federal oversight. This exact match law was passed a few years later. So that question, does the law affect all populations equally?
Right, that is the question. And voting laws have changed a lot in recent years. The exact match law is a little bit separate from that debate because it has been upheld at least in one other federal court in Florida. But the Shelby versus Holder decision from 2013 that the U.S. Supreme Court issued, which did remove a part of the Voting Rights Act dealing with whether southern states, including Georgia, had to check with federal authorities before they could make voting rights changes, that has had an impact in other areas. For example, the AJC reported a few weeks ago that 214 precincts across Georgia have closed since 2012. And the Supreme Court decision was in 2013. Before that decision, under the Voting Rights Act, precinct closures were one of those areas that had to be checked with and cleared before you could move forward with it. Now it's a local county decision whether you want to close precincts, and it's much easier to do. And we have seen that since then, it more precincts have been closed across the state.
And that case in Florida, by the way, is something that Brian Kemp's office mentioned, that, you know, the civil rights suit, the suit by the civil rights organizations, it's going to be struck down like it was in Florida. You're just wasting taxpayer money. But in the meantime, are groups like the groups who are registering people to vote and catching these discrepancies, are they acting as the new watchdogs now that federal officials don't have election oversight in Georgia?
We always have to be watching our elections and our democracy, and a lot of organizations have a role in that. I don't think that's any different than any other time. Of course, government election agencies, they are, generally speaking, doing their best to provide election access in most cases. There are exceptions. That's why we have news media. That's why we have nonprofits. That's why we have regular voters and regular citizens who care about the process. We all need to be watching and participating in the democracy to make sure that it's done correctly and fairly.
Well, the Secretary of State's office does oversee elections in Georgia, and as we know, Secretary of State Brian Kemp is running for governor. Polls showing that the race is very close. Stacey Abrams could be the nation's first Black female governor. Now, a number of minority voters who tend to vote Democratic have to jump through hurdles to vote. Is there a good reason here for suspicion?
There's this constant battle between making sure that we have elections with integrity and also making sure that we make elections available to everyone who can vote. And this issue is very political, where generally you have Democrats who favor increased access to the polls and fewer hurdles, while Republicans in elected offices, in particular election offices, want to make sure that they prevent voter fraud and they prevent people from incorrectly casting votes. And that's a conflict that we have in how elections should be administered. But there is some common ground here. Everyone wants voting to be accessible for everyone who is legitimate and able to cast a vote. Where we see the polarization is on the areas of voter fraud, voter ID, and expanding access to vote beyond what it is currently, or narrowing it beyond what it is currently.
You did also report that nearly 6.9 million people are now registered to vote ahead of next month's election. This is more than in the past, right?
Yes, and in fact, it's a record. We have seen tremendous number of people signing up to register to vote. This is just since the primary in May. There's been well over 200,000 new people who have signed up to vote, and that was as of the registration deadline last week. I think that number will only grow as paper applications are still being processed. So it could be that we'll have more than 7 million registered voters in Georgia by the time all the registration applications are processed.
Mark Nisi, he's AJC government reporter. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.